Celebrating 75 years of broadcast excellence, we are 1450 WCTC New Brunswick, the voice of Central Jersey, a Beasley Media Group station. Now also on 93.5 FM, W228DY.
You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Helms on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open. 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Oh. Well, okay. So, Merry Christmas. Sorry about that. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells, and welcome to The Garden Show. I am here with...
You're here with Jared.
And, of course, I'm also here with, and I should really be hard on myself for neglecting this. I'm also here with...
You're here with Becky.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's here. She's laying on my feet, as always. Aww. My wonderful, sweet, gentle 14-and-a-half-year-old chocolate lab who lays on my feet the whole time we do the show. We are, well, almost ready for Christmas. Are you ready?
Just about.
Well, I got my booster shot this week.
Oh, nice.
Well, I feel protected, which is good. It knocked me on my certain part of my anatomy mm-hmm. for like 4 days. I mean, it really knocked me out. My whole body hurt. So I tried to wrap some presents. Because I have mountains of presents, and I had everything all boxed and in piles for this person, piles for that person, piles for friends. I got quite a few wrapped, but I expect it to be completely done by now, and I am not. I did wrap your present, though, Jared.
You did?
Yes. And I made a really cute bow, and it was a nice present. You opened it. You liked it, right?
I like it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. But as I was trying to get into the studio, I put my purse down so I could get the key out. And as I tipped over, I poured tea all over your present.
Oh, no.
I did. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
The paper was all teed. ribbon was okay, but it was all teed. Anyway, today, now I'm feeling much better. I went to a Christmas party last night and had a fabulous time, and was the first day I was actually feeling, pretty much myself. So today, the rest of the presents will be wrapped today, and we will be done. And then I'll have beautiful piles of wrapped presents all around the house, and that'll be good. And I'm finally going to try to cook down my pumpkin for pumpkin pie and pumpkin cheesecake, which I still have not done, but I will probably do that tomorrow. That is sort of a plan for tomorrow, but we're getting there. Have you heard, Jared, that there is a Christmas tree shortage?
I have not.
Well, I think we should call Mel and see what she thinks. Jack will probably call in later, but I heard that there's a Christmas tree shortage. And anybody have trouble getting a Christmas tree? Apparently, there was a number of places that have been selling Christmas trees for many years, and they ran out early, and there's no more trees. Part of the reasoning that I found out about that is during the recession, back 10, 12 years ago, people were not planting trees because no one was buying anything. So the growers were not planting trees. So the trees that would have been planted then would have been ready for harvest now. And so there's more of a shortage of trees as a result of that. But that's only one reason. That's a local shortage. But the other reason is that some in the Northwest, that there was some drought and some fire. And so that knocked out a bunch of Christmas trees that would have been available. And the transportation, that there aren't drivers and people that will haul the trucks that will haul the trees from the Northwest to the East. So there appears to be a number of reasons. But, of course, I got my tree a bit ago. It's up, and of course I picked it ages ago and tagged it. So I mean, Jack had a tree for me, no problem. But I don't know. I haven't heard from anybody have any problems getting a tree. Anybody in the tree business that ran out of trees? Either way, would love to hear about that. The number here, 545 1-888-346-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. Of course, most people don't need that 888 anymore, do they, Jared? I mean, most people use cell phones.
You still need the 888 if you're on a cell phone.
Do you? I thought you could call pretty much anywhere.
I mean, it's, you know, I think you still need, because you need an area code.
Well, 732.
Right, but you can still
use. You can still use the 888.
Use the 888. Yeah.
So either way, we're here and we will answer your calls until 10 o'clock. I am going to tell you that our Sports Minute this week is going to be about snowman building. So if you have any good stories to share about that, that would be fun. Other things that are going on, unbelievable. As I was getting into the car yesterday to go to my Christmas party, which was fabulous, I did make a cherry cheesecake for that, which was really good, but I left it there, so I don't have a piece for you, Jared. I'm sorry.
Oh.
And I'll bring you something soon, I promise. So had this. I was getting in the car, and I was my husband's truck, actually, and which he parks right in front of the house. And there was my pink camellia. Jared, my pink camellia had so many flowers on it.
Oh, nice.
It was covered. It was covered in beautiful pink, double rose-like flowers. Absolutely stunning. I'm almost in shock about how fabulous it looks. So I've decided that it's getting really tall. It is the I have three camellias in there, and it is by far the tallest of the three. It's in front of the rail on the porch, and it goes all the way up to where the roof comes down over the porch. So it completely covers the gap between the top of the rail and the ceiling there. So now it's thin, it's sparse, it's not solid, and my husband likes it because he likes a little privacy on the porch, which is understandable. But it's just shot up compared to the other two. And the other two are healthy and they have flower buds on them, but they're not blooming. And they're only half the size. They have not grown like that at all. So obviously it is a varietal difference. But I think that I will try to propagate it. I will usually to propagate something like that, I will look up the specifics of how to propagate a camellia. But what I will do for sure is try it in the spring. Probably the best time is late June, early July. And those are called semi-hardwood cuttings. And what that means is that the new growth has come out and it starts, you know, the new growth comes out soft and green and delicate, but it doesn't stay that way. Eventually it gets woody because it's a woody shrub. So semi-hardwood means that it's started to turn woody. The new growth has started to turn woody, but it hasn't gotten completely woody yet. And that is a recommended time for propagating a lot of ornamental shrubs. So I will try that. I may have to prune it in the spring before that because, as I said, it's really tall and it's I wouldn't say it's wild looking. It's not. But I'm going to need to get in there because it got so big so fast that the hydrangea that's next to it is crowding it. So I'm going to get in there and dig out the hydrangea and move that. And there may be a little bit of pruning and shaping involved as a result. So if I take any cuttings, I'll try to root them whenever I take them. But I will also try to take some at the ideal time. But very impressive. Very, very, very impressive. I picked that up with my good buddy and plant searcher friend Danny and from Metuchen, and we got that at that wonderful nursery on Route 27 in Edison, and where they have a lot of interesting, unusual plants. They had lots of camellias. That's where they had persimmons Asian pears and a whole bunch of things that, you know, kind of unusual stuff. And that's where I got this camellia. So I will see what I can do. But let me tell you, it was really, really, really impressive. So, all right, let me give the phone number again. And the Garden Show on 1450 WCTC is brought to you in part by Barty Farms, now over 117 years old and still growing. We have four open lines, so if you give us a call, we'll get you on the air very quickly. The number, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. And we'll be back after this.
Now the Fox Sports New Jersey weather forecast. Well, colder weather is moving into our area. We have clouds around this morning, then some sunshine mixing in this afternoon. It'll be rather breezy. High in the upper 30s to around 40. Tonight, mainly clear skies, quite cold, heading down into the mid-20s. Tomorrow, we are looking for a fair amount of sunshine. Temperatures will be about where they should be at this time of the year, upper 30s to around 40, a few low 40s. Clear cold tomorrow night into the mid and upper 20s, and sun and clouds Tuesday, mid-40s. I'm WeatherWorks' Tony Salimo on Fox Sports New Jersey.
The Rutgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Driving on Watkins, get caught underneath, but the reverse goes in.
Catch the action.
Floating to the basket and dunking it down with two hands. Whoa. Rutgers back in front by 10.
All season long.
Step back three for the lead. With 1.1 to go.
On your home for Scarlet Knights basketball.
Rutgers hosts Central Connecticut State December 23rd at 8:30. Brought to you by Ultimate Collision, Aaron Kitchen Bath and Design Gallery, and St. Peter's University Hospital.
We are Fox Sports!
This is another Health Minute brought to you by St. Peter's Healthcare System.
Did you know that St. Peter's University Hospital is only the fifth hospital in the world to achieve nursing's highest honor six consecutive times? The best of the best for 22 straight years. That's what a magnet designation says about St. Peter's nursing excellence. The Magnet designation recognizes healthcare organizations for quality patient care, nursing excellence, and innovation. Quoting Linda Carroll, Chief Nursing Officer and Vice President, Patient Care Services at St. Peter's, compassionate care complemented by the highest skill level is what truly sets us apart. Our nursing team is comprised of outstanding individuals that deliver exemplary care based on an interdisciplinary approach to quality and patient safety. St. Peter's University Hospital. When you want the best in patient care, trust the best nursing team. To learn more, visit stpetershcs.com.
Your Retirement Radio delivers the financial news and most up-to-date financial strategies to Central New Jersey. Tune in every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 1 a.m. Central for the Freightliner Run Smart Hour on Red Eye Radio. Tune in to help you run more efficiently. Brought to you by Freightliner Trucks.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells. We're here on 1450 to answer your gardening questions and have a little Christmas cheer. It is one of my favorite times of the year. I do really, really love Christmas. So let me give the phone number because I'm sure there are a lot of questions. And I really want to hear from anybody who's had any trouble trying to get a Christmas tree. And Jared, can you see if you can get a hold of Mel and see if you have her number, right?
I believe I still have it.
Yep. Okay, well, let's see if we can get and see, because I got an email from her, when one of her promotional things, saying that they got another load of Christmas trees not too long ago, and I'm wondering if she has Christmas trees for sale. Also, a big time of year for Poinsettias, of course, is the holiday favorite plant. Friend of mine showed up with two for me as a gift. He's coming for Christmas dinner, Bob. And Bob brought me two. One gigantic poinsettia, really, really lovely. And I have to say, whoever produced that poinsettia did something smart. They put the plastic, you know, growing pot into a mildly decorative plastic pot that doesn't have drainage on the bottom. So there's, you know, the plastic, green plastic pot inside the pretty shiny red plastic pot that doesn't have holes. So you don't have to worry about the paper or it staining or putting a saucer. And I put it on my coffee table, which is kind of moved. Everything's moved around in the living room for the Christmas tree. So it's kind of to the side of a window. It's really more of an end table next to the Christmas tree now, and I put this huge poinsettia in there, and it looks fabulous. It looks really, really good. So, and then a little one that I put on my kitchen counter, and then Tommy bought me a medium-sized one that's in the dining room. But so poinsettias are everywhere, and they're very popular, and they're very beautiful, and you have to take care of them. You have to take care of them the way they need to be taken care of if you want them to stay looking good. And the most important thing is watering. You do not want to overwater them, and you do not want them, you don't want them sitting in water for sure, but you don't want them to get dry either. Very important, because they have no rebound ability. They do not bounce back. They unfortunately, if they start to wilt, even if it's only a little bit, those leaves that are dangling slightly will fall off. There's no rebounding. They don't perk up. So you have to make sure that you don't let it get to that. And because of the fact that they're seasonal and it's not everyone's goal to try to keep them as good houseplants, it's not necessary to put them in a bright sunny window. You can put them in the middle of the dining room table. After the holidays, if you want them to stay as houseplants and look good, at that point, yes, you would need to move them into a sunnier location. But for now, you know, put them wherever. Just make sure they're not near a source of heat. You don't want to put them near where the hot air blows out of your vents or near a radiator. You don't want to do that, because that's like instant death. you can, you know, use them as decoration for now. And then if you want them to be houseplants, you will make the adjustments later. The other thing I want to remind you of, when you're picking out a poinsettia, one of the most important things to look for is the little yellow beady things in the middle. You know what I'm talking about, Jared? The little yellow beady things in the middle?
I think so.
Well, those are technically the flowers.
Oh, okay.
The red things that you're looking at, that's what makes them so spectacular, those are actually called bracts, and they're not petals. They are modified leaves, and they surround the yellow beady things, which are actually the flowers. So when you're picking out a poinsettia, it's important that the yellow beady things are intact. That makes for a healthier, longer-living plant. If the beady things have fallen off, if the little yellow flowers in the center have fallen off, you'll see like a little round, circular, white, almost polka dot where it had been. And when they have started to fall off, that means the plant is aging, may have undergone some stress, may have gotten underwatered at some point, may have been exposed to temperature extremes. But once they start falling off, then the plant is not in as good a shape as you would like, and it will not have the shelf life that you could hope for. It's already begun its transition in aging and going downhill. So you want, when you're picking them out, you want to make sure that the beady things are intact. The flowers in the center of the bracts are intact. Another thing is, some of the big box stores, Jared, have you ever gone to a big box store and seen racks and racks of poinsettias in plastic sleeves?
It's that time of year.
Yes, it is. The problem is, a lot of the big box stores leave them in plastic sleeves. And the plastic sleeves are to protect them from getting bumped, and to give them a little protection from, you know, sudden changes in temperature, like gusts of wind or cold in transportation or anything like that. But the problem is that if they stay in those plastic sleeves too long, they don't have the ability to straighten out. they form to the shape of the plastic sleeve. And when you take the plastic sleeve off, they stay that way. So if you're considering buying a plant and you see it on a shelf someplace in a plastic sleeve, I would be cautious. Maybe see if you can pull it out of the sleeve and see if it bounces back, or talk to someone about how long have they been sitting there in plastic sleeves. Because if they've been there for days and you go to take it out of the sleeve, it very possibly could be very contorted. So if you buy one for someone and you're not planning on bringing it for a couple of days, pull the sleeve down. You can leave the sleeve at the base of the plant around the pot, but pull it down and then gently pull it back up when the time comes to transport it again. But that's something that people are often not aware of, that that the plastic sleeves can cause contortion and twisting of the plant, and then they look really weird. So keep that in mind. So the other thing about poinsettias is that there are multiple kinds. Multiple varieties. Some of them do better as houseplants than others, but that's not really why most people buy them. The occasional person can get them to rebloom. I did get a lovely photograph and email from one of my listeners that was able to get his rose poinsettia to bloom again. And a rose poinsettia is a really interesting kind of poinsettia because it's a much smaller set of bracts, but it truly does look like a rosette. Like the bracts are very close together, very tight, and it's very red. I've never seen one other than the red ones, and It just looks different, but it's a really beautiful variety of poinsettia. And I heard from Charles in Middletown. He's the person who sent me the picture. And I have to say the photo was pretty impressive because the plant itself looked really healthy and had lots of leaves on it, but it was covered in flowers and these rose type blooms. But there's also white ones and pink ones and speckled ones. And the red are, of course, the most traditional, and that's what you see. But all of them are quite lovely, and an assortment and arrangement of all of them, if you want to do like a really nice display, is a lot of fun. But then again, you know, a solid mass of color is pretty impressive too. But there are many kinds, so keep your eyes out. They all function pretty much in the same way. You have to make sure you look for the little yellow beady things in the center, keep them well watered. And if you are fortunate enough to keep it alive till next year and you get it to bloom again, we'll talk about that in the early autumn, because you have to give it dark treatment for quite a while before you can get it to bloom again. So, but there are other holiday plants that you may want to consider. I was watching Magnum P.I. Do you ever watch that, Jared?
I've actually never watched.
Never watched?
I've never watched.
Well, I resisted the new one for a long time because I was loyal to the original. But
wait, there's a new one?
Yeah. The new one, the original one, was a long time ago.
Yeah, I never knew there. No, I honestly never knew there was a new one.
Oh, Jared, you're not that young. Come on. Okay, so you're going to have to look it up now, okay? All right. So I was loyal to the first one, but I started watching it. And the last episode that I watched was the Christmas one, and for this year. And they were decorating the Christmas tree. And I got very excited because I don't know what they ordinarily do. The show is located in Hawaii. I don't know what they ordinarily do for Christmas trees in Hawaii, but the Christmas tree that they were decorating in on the show was a Norfolk Island pine, which is not a hardy tree around here. It's probably hardy in Hawaii, but and I don't know if that was a cut tree or in a container. We grow Norfolk Island pines as houseplants here. And Araucaria araucana, I think, is the botanical name. A very close relative of the monkey puzzle tree, which is also an Araucaria. The monkey puzzle tree is one of the trees that I saw at Longwood Gardens that got me really, really excited that I want to have a monkey puzzle tree at a tiny farm. They're totally bizarre looking trees. But the tree that was in the Magnum PI show was a Norfolk Island pine. It has a unique look, so I was pretty easy for me to identify on the show. But they do make good Christmas trees. And part of the reason for that is that there's a lot of space between the branches. So they may look a little thin, but if you're decorating it, it is a great tree to hang ornaments on. I mean, really fabulous because you can see all the ornaments. So Norfolk Island pines, if you happen to have one of those, they make good house plants. They have a drawback. The drawback is that if they start to lose their bottom branches, they don't ever fill in. And so they can get sort of, you know, palm tree-like with all the leaves and foliage at the top if they have a period where they're not doing well and they shed their bottom branches, then that's what you're stuck with, kind of a very bare tree at the bottom. But a healthy, well-maintained Norfolk Island pine is an excellent houseplant, a good gift to give someone, and you can decorate it. Now, I do suggest if you're decorating a Norfolk Island pine, you want especially a young one that's not real sturdy yet, that you use very lightweight ornaments. If the ornaments are heavy and weigh the branches down, I have seen on more than one occasion that when you do that, those branches kind of wither eventually and don't do so well. So you want to use something lightweight, paper ornaments, a paper chain would be okay as opposed to heavy beads. Something, you know, lightweight, lacy type ornaments, ones cut out of paper, stars, that kind of thing. You don't want to use a lot of heavy ornaments on it. A really tiny one that might give as a gift, as a houseplant or to a child. I decorated them with shoe buttons. I had some shoe buttons in a container. You might even have other kinds of buttons that you could use that have a little kind of loop on the bottom, and you could put a chrisman ornament hook on it, and you could hang them on it, something small. But they make good gifts, especially to people who love plants. You can use them as a Christmas tree, a small Christmas tree, or as they get bigger, a big Christmas tree. But I thought it was pretty cool that that's what they were decorating on Magnum PI. Other plants that you may want to consider, I had a friend who would give dwarf Alberta spruces to everybody she knew for Christmas, and she would decorate them. Dwarf Alberta spruce is another it is a spruce, it is a dwarf, and it stays very compact. It's an excellent shrub tree for small areas, for condos, people with tiny yards, urban kind of settings, or as part of a planting and around a foundation planting around the house. And they're around and they make excellent gifts, and you can decorate them and then plant them outside, which is nice, a nice smaller tree. Of course, you know, people are also buying bald trees that they can then plant in the yard. But these are smaller things that you can use as an alternative, and you still have a live kind of Christmas tree, but it's a little bit different. So those are all suggestions. They make great presents, especially to people that are already plant lovers. So some things. As alternatives to the poinsettia, you can – I really like the cyclamen. I talked very recently about planting the hardy cyclamen that have kind of pinkish-purple flowers in October. But the classic holiday cyclamen, they come in many colors, purple, pink, red, white. And the nice thing about them is that they will bloom for a very long time, sometimes for months, which is, you know, advantageous over the poinsettia, which – by the time you get to the middle of January, most poinsettias are done. Some people, as I said, are, you know, really able to keep them going. But the cyclamen is a really beautiful flower, and it continues to put out new flowers for quite a while. They make excellent gifts, and you know, a cluster grouping of a bunch of cyclamen are just as festive as a cluster of poinsettias, but they make better houseplants. They do require a dormant period if you want to get them to bloom again, but they will bloom for a long time. Do you know them, Jared? We've talked about them before, the cyclamen.
We have, yeah.
Haven't you given your lovely wife one of those on occasion?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, they're pretty, right?
Yeah.
And very festive. Not much you can do to decorate them, but it's certainly not out of the question to stick a few ornaments in, you know, like on picks. You could do that if you wanted to make them more festive. Here's an idea that I saw that was really pretty awesome. Somebody sent me this picture. Was it Anne Marie? You take your old chrysanthemums that are in pots and that they're all pretty much dead now and brown, and you get yourself a can of spray paint. Gold or silver is nice, or of course also red. And you spray paint them whatever color, red and green or silver or white or any color that you like, and the spray paint actually really holds them together. I have used spray paint on dried flowers for many different kinds of scenarios, this being a new one, but and then you can put them back on your front steps and stick ornaments in them, and they look really cool. And you get kind of a second burst of use out of the plants, and they become very festive without a lot of work. And then when you're done, then you can get rid of them. Chances are they won't come back up in the pot in the spring, but you know, a can of spray paint goes a long way. So that's a fun thing to do. And I mean, almost everybody has chrysanthemum sitting around that looks dead for sure. I have a few in Ocean Grove that are sitting on the front steps. I haven't done anything with them yet, but that's something that you can try. Okay, well, it's time for another break, right? So we're going to do that. Haven't heard from anybody yet this morning, which is, I guess, everyone's busy getting ready for the holiday. But the number here is 545-9282, or you can do 732-545-9282, or if you're out of the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. We have 4 open lines, so if you give us a call, we'll get you back on the air right away. We'll be back after this.
Now the Fox Sports New Jersey weather forecast. Well, colder weather is moving into our area. We have clouds around this morning and some sunshine mixing in this afternoon. It'll be rather breezy. High in the upper 30s to around 40. Tonight, mainly clear skies, quite cold, heading down into the mid-20s. Tomorrow, we are looking for a fair amount of sunshine. Temperatures will be about where they should be at this time of the year, upper 30s to around 40, a few low 40s. Clear cold tomorrow night into the mid and upper 20s, and sun and clouds Tuesday, mid-40s. I'm WeatherWorks' Tony Salimo on Fox Sports New Jersey.
39 degrees in Central Jersey.
Boost your mood in New Jersey. Escape to a wild and free winter wonderland, or rediscover the places and faces you treasure most. Chart your course to tranquility and the moments that renew. Bundle up for way cool adventures in parks, forests, and family-favorite attractions. Or warm up to new dining, cultural, and historic experiences. Find it all at visitnj.org.
Getting ahead in sports is good. Getting ahead in business, even better. Join Milton Paris for Getting Ahead in Business each Sunday at 11 a.m. on Fox Sports New Jersey, 93.5 FM and 1450 WCTC.
We are Fox Sports!
Psst. Hey, it's me, your dream. What happened, man? We used to be tight. I say it's time we get back together. Think about it. You and me. Your dream. Living the van life in a totally awesome upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Like starting your own business. Or building that mountain cabin with your dad. Whatever you want. All I'm saying is don't forget about me. I mean, I am your lifelong dream. And this is a Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about. I mean, tons of innovative safety features like blind spot assist and crosswind assist. Plus all that technology and performance with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and with an available gas engine, it runs like me, a dream. So what do you say? Let's head to our Mercedes-Benz Vans dealership and get that Sprinter. Till then, I'll be here, hanging out of the stadium, hitting home runs in the bottom of the ninth for you.
Gasoline engine not available on all models.
Miss a show? Listen anywhere, anytime, on demand to catch up on Eric and Gary's topics of the day. Visit RedEyeRadioShow.com and click on demand.
Babe! Babe!
I'm right here.
Oh, hey. Could you tie my shoes? Because, you know, I can't with...
Your lobster claw hands. You know, I don't think this is working out.
I hope this isn't because of my... Because if it is, I think that's pretty superficial of you.
What? Yes. No. You're a karmic nightmare. I mean, why do you think you suddenly grew lobster claws for hands?
It's just a bug or something.
You have bad karma. What were you doing right before the claws?
Nothing. Shooting bottle rockets at paddle boats.
Right. So maybe some good karma, like helping out in the community, working at a soup kitchen, something.
Or maybe there's a lotion or something, a cream.
Lobster boy cream?
Yeah, something like that. Okay, fine. Hug?
No.
Stay on the universe's good side. Volunteer, vote, get involved, and get yourself to getgoodkarma.org. Getgoodkarma.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells, and Jared, how are the buttons going?
They're happening.
They're happening. Okay, all right. And so, what's the weather?
Cold, gray.
Do we have a weather prediction for Christmas yet? Is it going to be a white Christmas?
No,
yes!
It's going to be a rainy Christmas.
Oh, okay. So who have we got on the phone?
We have Sally from East Brunswick.
Good morning, Sally. How are you today?
I'm fine. Peggy, I have a Swedish ivy that I started from cuttings for my previous Swedish ivy.
Okay.
And what's happening is that the leaves are getting smaller and losing color, and it's very leggy.
It sounds like it's not getting enough light.
Oh, I don't know. It's right outside a window.
Okay. What direction does the window face? What time of the day does the sun
face? South.
It faces south?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the window a big window or a small window?
Very large.
Very large. Okay. And is the window blocked by anything?
Nothing at all. A plant starts off beautifully. The cuttings take, and it grows. The leaves are very large and healthy. And then over time, this is what happens.
Really?
Yeah.
And is the plant full and robust with many shoots, or is it just the one or two shoots that you started out with?
Many, many shoots.
Okay, so it was looking good for a while, and now it's not. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And when did the deterioration start?
Gradually, about maybe 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that quickly, huh?
Yep.
Is it possible you overwatered it?
I don't think so, but anything is possible.
Right, of course, anything is possible. Because when a plant deteriorates that quickly, what I was initially thinking was that it wasn't enough light. Enough light. When you have insufficient light, plants tend to deteriorate more gradually. And it doesn't sound like your plant has insufficient light. If it's in a large south-facing window, a plectranthus, Swedish ivy, is not overly demanding about light. Now, granted, even in your south-facing, big, unblocked window, we are approaching the shortest day of the year, so I'm sure that's not helping, you know? I mean, it's, yeah, we have two more days before the days start getting longer, and even in the sunniest spot that you've got, light is at a premium, so I'm sure that's not helping. But when something deteriorates very quickly like that, it sounds more like a watering issue.
Yeah, it happens time and time again, because I got the original plant maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I keep taking healthy snippets from it to start again. And what I'm taking is the new growth that I'm rooting and replanting.
I understand, and it looks good for a while, and then is it the deterioration always sudden like this?
Yep.
Yeah, then I'm guessing at one point every now and then you give it a little too much water and it sits in water or the roots begin to deteriorate, because that's the only thing that would make it go down that downhill that fast, unless it has an insect infestation or something, and I think you would have mentioned that if it did.
It doesn't. Yeah. No, it doesn't. Now, what's the proper way to water this?
Well, you want it to get fairly dry in between waterings, not bone dry, not so dry that the soil pulls away from the sides of the pot, but you want it to get fairly dry in between waterings. And then when you water it, you want to water it thoroughly. If it gets too dry, then the water runs right through and it doesn't actually have access to the water. Runs through like a colander.
Right.
So that's not good. And the only way to offset that is to let the plant sit in water for a little while, to let the soil that's in the pot overcome what's called hydrophobia, the fear of water. And when soil gets very dry, I'm sure you've seen outside after a drought, we get a rain and the water just sits on the surface like a puddle, and
right.
It just sits there and it won't get soaked in. It takes a long time for the water to soak in, because even the soil in your yard can become hydrophobic if it gets dry enough. So that's what happens. It runs right through like a colander, and you have to let it sit in water, which is totally contrary to the fact that you don't want your plants to sit in water under other circumstances. So even when it's really dry and you water it and the water runs right through, you let it sit in water until it soaks up all the water or until it stops soaking up water, and then you dump the water out. Usually takes about half an hour. But if it sits in water any longer than that, the roots begin to deteriorate. So if you water it and it's not really dry, and you water it thoroughly, and the water, you know, eventually, if you water it enough, the water will come through. You have to dump that water out right away.
Right, right.
But if you slip up and you're in a hurry, and I am guilty of this myself. I mean, I watered the greenhouse yesterday, spent quite a bit of time out there just, you know, making sure everything got tended, because this is not the time of year I spend a lot of time in the greenhouse. This is Christmas, and there are other things going on. So it is definitely possible, when you're not paying attention to every detail of every plant, to slip up and let a plant sit in water, and it sits in water for a day, and maybe it evaporates, and you weren't even aware that it had been sitting in water. But sitting in water, waterlogged for 24 hours, can do damage.
Yeah. So should I prune this? I have a very long, you know, shoots. Some of them are as long as a foot. Should I trim it and try to reroot the very healthy stems?
Well, is it mostly healthy or is it mostly not healthy?
Well, even the leaves that have lost color are healthy.
Well, not if they've lost color. I would say that they're probably not that healthy. So, if you've got nothing to lose by trying to root the cuttings, nothing to lose by trying. So, you know, why not? If it is struggling, I think pruning is a good idea, and the reason behind that is if the root system is struggling because it was, you know, overwatered at one point. If the root system is struggling, then cutting it back means that the existing root system has less plant to maintain, and so it will do a better job of maintaining what's left.
Uh-huh.
So that's a good idea. In addition, the cutting it back, when you remove the growing tips, it allows the buds along the stem to begin to grow, just like you pinch back your begonias and your chrysanthemums and your petunias to keep them bushy. The very tips of the plants, the longest branches, the tallest branches, the very tips of the growing plant emits a chemical, sort of biofeedback kind of thing, where it prevents those buds from growing. The plant has to get long enough so that the growing tip is so far away from the base of the plant that the chemical can't travel all the way back there, and then those buds will begin to grow.
Oh, I have those.
So you want to cut off, you know, prune it, try to root the cuttings, and then it will, all of the buds along the sides have the ability to now begin to grow, and so it will fill in closer to the base.
Okay.
So that's what I would do, and be really careful with watering.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever see?
Do I need to fertilize?
Well, you see, I'm a little hesitant to encourage fertilizing on at the time of the year when the days are the shortest day of the year.
Okay.
But see how it does after you prune it, and then a really light dose of, after it looks like maybe it is sending out some new growth or it looks like it's still healthy, a really dilute solution of water-soluble fertilizer just once to give it a little boost is probably not a bad idea. And then you would start fertilizing it again in mid-February.
Yeah. But you know what's curious about this? The tips that you described are growing beautifully, and so that the ends of the plants where those tips are growing are healthy. Isn't that strange?
So you're saying the new growth is coming in healthy?
Yeah, the end of the growth, the end of the stem.
You mean at the base by the soil or on the other end?
On the other end.
Yeah, I thought you said that's where it was turning yellow.
It started from the soil air.
That may be another reason for it to be overwatered, because it's right there, maybe sitting in water. All right, so we're going to go back to the same thing. That's what you need to do. You need to prune it back. You need to hope it sends out new shoots and fills in. Don't cut every branch, because if the healthier growth is near the tips, you don't want to remove all of that. But give it a little bit of a pruning and a very, very light dose of fertilizer, and keep it in that sunny spot and keep your fingers crossed.
Okay, and thanks for your good advice.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, and you too.
All right, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, who's next?
Next is Anne Marie.
Hey there, girlfriend. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? I just want to say that I'm jealous of that woman having even a sick plant. I haven't seen that plant around maybe since the 70s.
A plectranthus? A Swedish ivy?
Swedish ivy. Everybody had them in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Plant of choice.
Well, it was a nice hanging house plant that, you know, wasn't overly fussy.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, I'll keep my eyes
out. Easy for mothers to maintain. They got fussy kids to worry about.
So I will keep my eyes out. I've seen them. But you're absolutely right. They're not nowhere near as common as they used to be.
I know, and I don't have room for one more plant, but I just was happy to hear her talk about it. So,
oh, there's always,
your caller.
There's always room for one more. You know that.
Yeah, well, no, because Amory does not have a greenhouse.
When I was at Longwood Gardens, they had them there. But I'll tell you, kind of interesting, you know, the whole houseplant thing of the 70s was huge, and businesses were started over houseplants, and the whole having interior decoration with houseplants and the business of plant interior design kind of was created during that period. I don't know that it existed before that. That kind of also paralleled the enormous development of shopping malls. Shopping malls, people used to shop downtown, wherever that was. Downtown New Brunswick. New Brunswick was one place, for sure, absolutely. And the development of malls is one of the things that caused the deterioration of downtown New Brunswick. And I used to shop when I was growing up in Newark with my mother. And there was Bambergers, which of course became Macy's, and Orbach's and Kresge's and Woolworth's and a coffee shop. There's a song of that coffee shop that is going through my head right now, but chock full of nuts. There was a chock full of nuts coffee shop. And we would go there, and that's where we shopped. But with malls, and people stopped going to all these places and would go to malls. The malls are now, in many places, ghost towns. Everything's shifting again. But every mall had these huge interior plantings that were open to skylights. And that was another big contributing factor, that there was opportunity for huge installations that contributed to the business of the houseplant world. I mean, they weren't in houses, but they were the same, the tropical plants in containers that were grown in these huge malls. And there was on Route 33 in... Well, it's before you get, I'm not even sure what town it's in. It's before you get to the 34th Circle, Rohr's Greenhouse. And Rohr's Greenhouse has been around a long time. And it moved from North Jersey to, you know, Central Jersey, again, a long time ago. But Julius Rohr's, the original owner and starter of Rohr's Greenhouses, was a famous world traveler. And he collected plant samples from all over the world, and he produced these books. One is called Exotica. This book weighs 10 pounds, and it has literally thousands and thousands of black and white pictures of plants. And I have the big one. When I was, you know, in school and studying plants, that book cost over $100 back then. That's how massive it was. There are smaller versions of it, you know, that are not as complete. But to own this book called Exotica, and when I found out that it was in New Jersey, that the greenhouse, and it was several generations later, but it was the same family that owned it, I went to this greenhouse. And it was one greenhouse, one building after another, and huge conservatories with giant arched ceilings and openings in the ceilings and holes dug in the ground so that they could put these massive plants in that were all intended for malls. And the place was fabulous. Greenhouse, a whole greenhouse of succulents, a whole huge conservatory full of these plants that were so big, some of them had to be laid down because they were too big, and with holes dug in the floor of the greenhouse to make more room for these giant plants. The place was absolutely unbelievable. And I went there with a wonderful guy from Rutgers. I was working at Rutgers at the time, and we did a whole series of photographs of houseplants so that I could put together a talk on houseplants. And we were there for a couple of days, and the place was show-stoppingly beautiful. And anything that you, any houseplant that you could imagine, they had. And then fast forward many years, and I would find myself driving back and forth on Route 33, going past Rohr's Greenhouse on a regular basis, going to Ocean Grove. And I started the Women's Club. And I wanted to take the Women's Club to Rohr's. They're still there, but they don't do that anymore. They don't have, I mean, maybe now with houseplants coming back, but they said there was nothing to see. So that whole business went from nothing to something huge. And Rohr's, who had always been in that business, was able to capitalize on it. But the whole business basically went away. And that place, being a supplier of many, many houseplants, including your Plectranthus, no longer carried any of that stuff. They were into, you know, chrysanthemums and poinsettias and, you know, all the regular stuff that hasn't gone away. But
I know, but those are consumable plants in my book.
Oh, no, I agree. But so point of the whole story is, you know, it came, it went, it's gone. It was amazing. And now slowly it's starting to come back again. And I think it's coming back again because of the pandemic.
Well, I think so, too. We have friends who are married 51, 2, 3 years, maybe. They have a rubber tree plant that they have had since they've married. They moved here from New York. They've moved it a few times. It has a name. I don't remember it right now. And it is as healthy as the day it was brought into their house, except it's about 8 feet tall now. And I just crack up when she talks about her plant like it's a pet, you know, like the dog or cat has a name. But so some people do love their plants forever.
Well, I have a Dracaena marginata that I got in a dish garden when I was 18 as a gift from my sister because I had the lead in the school play, the college play that I was in. And so that's over 40 years old.
Oh, good. So, good, good, good.
All right, listen, we have to break, but you have a wonderful day, and we will touch base soon, okay?
Okay, when you come back, can you talk about cutting, how hard you can cut back an asparagus fern when you bring it inside because you want it to go back outside next spring?
Call me back. All right, we will.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, we are breaking.